Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. For our last segment today, we're going to turn to the ports around here, both the ports and supply chain and the pandemic, and the ports and supply chain and corruption. So let me open up the phones right away on the off chance that we have anybody who works at the Port of Newark or any of the other ports in our listening area to call up and tell everybody what the heck is going on. Can shipping containers not get onto trucks? We hear about this regarding the West Coast ports a lot. What's happening at the ports around here? Do we have any longshoremen in the audience today? Anybody else who works at the ports who want to say what's going on? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'd love to hear from you if you're out there. Now, here's the corruption piece. While all eyes have been on the Supreme Court abortion case, the court also made news this past month for a case they decided not to take up regarding the ports of New York and New Jersey, where millions of units of cargo, of course, get delivered each year. The issue at play, well, Governor Phil Murphy wants to withdraw from the Waterfront Commission of New York Harbor. That's a bi-state agency that polices organized crime and oversees fair hiring practices in both the New Jersey and New York ports. Governor Murphy says the commission has outlived its usefulness and slows down operations, which is especially unfortunate as supply chain issues continue to roil deliveries because of the pandemic and through the holiday season. So with no Supreme Court ruling, it seems like New Jersey will in fact withdraw, but could possibly face a lawsuit from the New York side of the Hudson. So are we at the start of a bi-state port war in New York and New Jersey? And what would that mean for deliveries and the global supply chain crunch? So here to help us understand what this all means, as we see if anybody who works at any of our local ports is listening right now to call in, is Jennifer Smith, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, covering logistics, supply chains, and distribution networks. Jennifer, thanks so much. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And again, listeners, that phone number, if you work around the ports or are connected to the ports, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What's this Waterfront Commission, and why was it put in place in 1953?
So to take a step back, the Port of New York and New Jersey is a bunch of terminals where big ships dock and their cargo gets unloaded or imports get loaded on and they go on their way. And the reason it's called the Port of New York and New Jersey is you have terminals on both sides of the water. Although over time, the balance of economic activity has shifted over to the New Jersey side as ships have gotten bigger. So that's just setting the stage. So the commission, which anyone who was a fan of the movie On the Waterfront may have seen, there's a long history of organized crime on the docks around New York Harbor. And the commission was founded by an act of Congress in 1953 at a time when the Dock Workers Union was really largely controlled by organized crime. And the commission, this bi-state compact, is supposed to, you know, root out corruption, make sure that jobs are going to who they should be, that there's not graft, all that sort of stuff to try and make these operations smoother for commerce and also presumably more fair for the workers that are there. So that's the founding story. There've been some, if you want me to go into it, there've been some twists and turns in the decades since then.
Well, go into this piece. I see that the Longshoremen's Association, the union, also wants the commission out, even though you just said it's there in part to protect fair labor practices. So New Jersey wants out, the union wants out, New York apparently wants in. What are the real competing interests here? Is anybody actually being soft on organized crime?
Well, that's a big question. One complicating factor is that back in 2009, New York's Inspector General issued this report alleging that there was corruption at the commission itself. So, you know, it's a rich history here, right? And so commissioners and executive staff were purged, and the commission has sort of, you know, reconstituted itself, moved on, and it's looking again. There's a lot of where it gets to loggerheads is with the union, the International Longshoremen's Association, is over hiring, and the relations haven't been good. And then they've, you know, had ups and downs. There was a big deterioration in 2016. And the commission is basically, in its newer form, has said, look, there's still racial inequities in hiring, and you still have these figures that are showing up for no-show jobs, that kind of thing. And the ILA says that this is overreach. And then the shipping association that represents the actual operators of the terminals has supported New Jersey's push to withdraw. They're saying that this is slowing down their ability to actually hire workers to move freight, and they don't want this to be slowed down. New Jersey is arguing that its state police should be fined to patrol the docks and what's happening here, particularly since the bulk of the economic activity is really happening on the New Jersey side, although there are some active ports on the New York side. New York, it's not quite clear what New York thinks. When we wrote about this earlier this year, a former representative on the commission's board of commissioners from the New York side had said the state was likely to fight it, and that the withdrawal would be bad for law enforcement, and that it could also set a precedent for New Jersey seceding from other bi-state agencies like the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which is about more than just the ports. It's about the airports. It's a big deal. So it's unclear whether this is something that could, you know, open the door for a larger secession, but these are some of the factors at play.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're getting a call from Port North in Elizabeth, another one from the port in Bayonne. So here is Celso at Port North in Elizabeth. Celso, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for getting my call. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on at the port? I hear you talking about the warehouses backed up, which results in the ports being backed up.
Yes. So basically, I work for the rail division. So what we do is, generally speaking, we move about 12,000 feet of train a day prior to this bottleneck. So what's been going on
The ships come into the port and you unload stuff onto trains to ship them out to where they're going to be sold?
Exactly. So we have CSX, which is the middleman, that basically moves the freight from, let's say, the middle of the country down to us and from us to the middle of the country.
CSX is
a
railroad.
So what's been happening... Yeah, so CSX has been limiting their footage to us due to the restrictions from the warehousing. So the warehousing are telling us, listen, we can't take freight for Chicago like we usually do. So you got to cut back on that. So likewise with every other destination that we handle here. So, you know, there's a small misconception that everything is due to, you know, the ships, you know, by not being discharged fast enough.
Are you able to understand what the backup at the warehouses would be? Because we do keep hearing that the problem is at the ports getting stuff through, the ships are sitting in the harbor, all that stuff, the shortage of truck drivers. But why at the warehouses? One would think that the warehouses are just eager to get the stuff delivered to them. So what is the problem at the warehouses, if you know?
Yes, some of that has to do with the chassis, okay? Chassis are in very high demand out there, and chassis, obviously, drivers pulling those chassis. So it's labor and it's material, which is your chassis, also not being available. So some of that is a ripple effect, because remember, as those ships are waiting to be discharged, okay, unless that freight has somewhere to go, it's a ripple effect. So some of the audience, I hope, understands that aspect, that it's not always the longshoreman or the warehousing that is totally responsible for that.
Thank you very much, Celso. We really appreciate your call. Call us again. Let's go to Artie at the Global Port, I think it's called, in Bayonne. And Artie, you're a truck driver, I see, right?
I am a truck driver. Brian, it's a pleasure to finally talk to you. A big fan of yours.
Thank you. What do you want to add to the supply chain explainer?
All right. So what I can tell you is from a trucker's perspective, all right, I'm in and out of the ports every day, and I go through all four. There's five ports, Bayonne, and there's two in Elizabeth and two in Newark. All right. So I'm in and out of most of them every day. All right. My problem is the time to get in. There's lines that you're waiting maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to get in. And once you're in, you have this other line and you're waiting another maybe 2 hours. I'm in the port right now waiting for a container, and I waited 3 hours. I've been here 3 hours.
Wow.
For one container. Now, what I see, all right, what I see, and when I deal with the people here, is that the added, these longshoremen, I mean, they make money, they're protected by the union, so they really don't care about the drivers, all right? They'll stop the machine. You'll be under waiting, and if they decide to stop the machine and pull out their phones and do whatever, or take a call, they will, and they'll leave you standing there. God forbid you beep the horn at them. Oh, forget about it. They'll drive right past you. So it's really pretty much the politics in the ports and the way they work and the way they treat the drivers. And that's the holdup. Now, you have people that security, they're driving up and down in pickups and whatever. When there's a jam, let's say when there's traffic, heavy traffic inside the ports, they should come out and start directing traffic. The bottom line, Brian, this is a mess. It's a hellhole. And there's nobody that takes action and say, all right, okay, we have on this lane, it's starting to get full. Let's get some people out there and start breaking up the traffic.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your call. Thanks for the nice words. Please call us again. And Jennifer Smith from the Wall Street Journal, those were two very interesting calls. And the last one, in the respect that, the working people there at the port seem to be to some degree at odds with each other, the truck drivers and the longshoremen.
That's right. And I've heard similar stories from some other port drivers that haul cargo in and out of the port there. I think just to take a step back, the bottlenecks, the labor shortages across the supply chain that the gentleman who worked on the rail side was talking about, you don't have enough workers at warehouses. Warehouses are already full of goods. So there's similar difficulties to what we've seen on the West Coast, where there's been a lot of focus on the bottlenecks dozens and dozens of box ships off the coast. My understanding is that the situation here in the New York Harbor is not nearly as bad, but there has been some congestion and some backups at peak with similar increases in imports. So all that's happening, and similar on the West Coast, you also have different players sort of blaming one another for the backups and the delays.
And so we have just 30 seconds left in the show. How does the supply chain problem that we've all been hearing about and that these two callers were calling about relate to the Waterfront Commission of New York and New Jersey that New Jersey wants to get out of and the alleged corruption, if it does?
It relates to it insofar as if the problem was that there aren't enough longshoremen and that's what's causing the backups, New Jersey's argument would be, hey, we need to quickly hire more people. You, the commission, are getting in the way of doing that. If the problem is not just a lack of longshoremen, but broader problems across the supply chain, it's less clear how that relates. But there is a lot of money and a lot at stake in the commerce. This is the busiest port on the East Coast.
Jennifer Smith, Wall Street Journal correspondent. Thank you for joining us today. Really interesting.